Hey everybody, this is Rome. Fun pod today. We recap week 18 in the NFL and also the whole NFL season 2024 is in the books. It's a wrap. Man, week 18 could have been bad. A lot of bad matchups, a lot of weird funky lines. We had some tough times talking about that in the previous pod on our weekly Thursday line special. But the guy said, okay, about 500. I killed it, man. I couldn't believe it. And I also had like this five-team parlay that actually hit just because I took the money lines on everything like that. It was just the spreads were too much. Didn't trust it. And thank God I did because I did pretty well. So, you know, now we know who's in the playoffs. The positioning, seeding, however you want to call it. My Steelers putting up a stinker to end the season on a 4-game losing streak. I'm not happy at all. Not happy. How come we couldn't use Fields? Seemed like the last game was perfect to bring in Fields, kind of change things up. Steelers were so much more open to that. And then, I don't know, man. It's just going to make me want to start drinking again. But I am doing dry January, just dry rosés, Sauvignon Blancs, Sancerres, dry champagne. Try cocktails, some Negronis, Boulevardier. I don't know if I'll go crazy like that, trying to start off the year slow. So with the whole recap of week 18 and the whole year, we talk about biggest wins, going to the playoffs, the offseason, some things that could be happening. We're expecting a little bit more firings for a Monday, Black Monday. It did not happen. I didn't think it would either, but I didn't think, like, it was crickets, basically. Mayo got fired seconds after their game ended. Guys couldn't even make it to the locker room in time before they announced that one already pre-written out. I was kind of shady the way they did that, my opinion. We'll see how the rest goes. I'm expecting more dominoes to fall as the week goes. And in case you guys are curious on how our preseason picks developed over the year or over the course of the season, I kind of sprinkle some of that in too. So pretty happy with our breakdown, our predictions with how the NFL season would go. We had some wild cards in there, even hedged some of our bets. It was on the money, more or less. So excited for what the postseason brings. We're going to break that down later in the week. But in the meantime, full recap of week 18, the NFL season 2024. And we kind of end the show with some award talk, MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Offense, Coach of the Year. Who's the Comeback Player of the Year? Aaron suggested Joe Burrow's. He already won it before. You know, it's a weird year for some of these things. I feel like we were so on the discussion for who's the best quarterback now, you know, Allen or Lamar. Who's best team? Lions, Eagles. Was the Steelers in that conversation for like 2 weeks in the middle of the year? So, fun pod. Don't go anywhere. Sources from the Sofa podcast. End of the year recap. Right here, right now. Don't go anywhere.
The NFL season, regular season in the books. Week 18 did not disappoint. We expect a lot of disappointment, but it's not disappointing. The morning games were actually a lot of fun. Sunday night game kicked ass. No Monday night game, obviously. So we have a lot to talk about. Who made the playoffs? All the positioning, some big wins, a little recap of what happened. And then also we'll review some of our preseason predictions. Sounds like a lot of fun. So week 18 from our picks. I had a great week, man. 13-3. I can't believe it. Five of those games, though, to be fair, were like my stay away, like, or like money line parlay ones. I wish I did a like real money on that because I've never done like a 5-game parlay and that would have been fucking epic. But, you know, it is what it is. Teams that needed a tank for better draft positioning, like the Pats, just couldn't do it. They couldn't do what they did all year long for one more game. And the playoff teams, ironically, the playoff teams that needed the tank or that wanted the tank, they tanked successfully. So the good teams, they know when to tank and how to tank. And bad teams, they don't know how to tank. Like, that kind of fits the mold, right? I think, Aaron, you text us, like, man, these teams like are not following the script. And I mentioned something like, man, they ain't the Easter egg bunny, man. They're just not going to lay eggs just because.
The Titans did, man. Smart move.
Titans? Yeah, man, number one pick. Levis, is he done? Now backup time? More than likely. I don't know how you guys want to review this, though. I kind of got a few – I got the games broken down in a few sections. Big wins heading to the playoffs, big wins to build for next year, and then feel-good wins. I think if we want – let's just start from the feel-good wins, you know, and then we'll talk more about the playoff stuff later on if you guys want.
Go for it.
Sure.
Yeah. Yep. Jets over the Dolphins. It was a fun game. I'm actually glad I watched part of the game, especially when Rodgers got the 500th touchdown. It was special. His teammates were rah-rah around him. I thought it was a nice gesture, and it was pretty cool. He ended up getting three more touchdowns in that game, so four total. Put a nice revenge ass-kicking on the Dolphins to end the year with five wins. Very disappointing, but at least Rodgers looked great. Statistically, he was great the last, 10, 11 games of the season. And who knows what happens next. They still have a lot of talent there. Does Rodgers stay? Does Rodgers go? Obviously, there's like a lot of things leading that he bounces. Same thing with Adams, Devontae Adams. And then the other feel-good win was the Bengals over the Steelers. I did not like this game. I did not like it. It was just frustrating. And I think I tweeted out on X, like, This felt like a good time to, you know, first I thought the play calling has been not as good the last several weeks, especially on this 4-game losing streak. And whereas on that winning streak, they were mixing in fields and opening up the playbook. Pickens has not looked the same since he got injured, but I feel like this was a good time to bring in Fields, and they didn't. And Russell had another not so great game. Looks like he kind of hit a wall. The offense staggered. They lost 19-17, but they covered 2.5 points, man. That was like a big win for us. So, Bengals, though, Joe Burrow, if they make the playoffs, definitely in that MVP conversation. But there's like a lot of sentiment that they keep their big three going. The Bengals, not in the playoffs, but they led the league in passing yards, receiving yards, and sacks. I did not know about the sacks until yesterday. Led the league with 17.5. Plus the other guys, can't remember the name off the top of my head, but he led the league with 17.5 sacks. But feel good wins. Aaron, I know you mentioned off the air that you would also put Arizona in it, and go ahead and tell us why.
Why not, man? I mean, you get a win, divisional rival, 49ers sweep them. When's the last time Arizona swept the 49ers in a single season? And you get the eight wins, man. Eight wins, something to build on. That Kyler Murray, Harrison Jr., they had it going, so they got something to build on. I know they've talked about hanging out all off season and getting on the same page. So those two are going to look to do some big things next year. And it'll be year three for Arizona, right? I mean, I think year one, Gannon had those guys win 4 or 5 games. Now they win 8. The next step's to win a division and get to the playoffs. So for Arizona, this is a good feel-good story. Murray gets to play the whole season. Harrison Jr., Got it going late. McBride, top tight end in the league. Now let's get some improvements. Big one for Arizona, in my opinion.
I like their coach. I like the hire when they brought him in. Kind of goofy guy, but like the hot and cold games from Kyler Murray, 4 touchdowns, killed it, absolutely killed it. But they go on a nice note.
Yeah, good win. As Aaron said, for Gannon in his second year, he's making the progression steps. Expectation will be definitely playoffs and the division title next year. But it's a team on the upswing versus a Niners team, which had a hugely disappointing year. It's in NFL terms, the Niners are an aging team. Are they past their playoff, you know, window or championship window right now? Because, you know, we're going to have to make decisions on Debo and, you know, other things that are going to be contract time. You have to pay Purdy down the road in the next year or two. You know, what's that going to look like and impact the rest of the cap situation to afford some of the skill players that have made Purdy look so great? On the Cardinals, though, they got a young team in a lot of areas. You know, a huge year for James Conner, you know, at a running back position. And they really
money
didn't even utilize a draft pick much they had in Trey Benson throughout the year, which, you know, it was a pretty, you know, good depth running back, and he didn't really get a lot of carries because how good Connor was. So, yeah, upswing year for the Cardinals. It's a division that's probably winnable next year. You got a Rams team that's, you know, they're in the playoffs, but, you know, they had some shakiness throughout the year, and they're still a little bit in a rebuilding mode. So it's up for the grabs. I agree with Aaron. That's a good way to end out their season and, you know, develop more in the offseason between Harrison and Murray, and some other young pieces are going to be coming up.
Where do you guys put the Seahawks when they beat the Rams 30-25? They got 10 wins. I mean, the Bengals are the only winning teams to not be in the playoffs this year. And I had a pretty interesting stat here. The last time a 10-win team did not make the playoffs was the 2020 Miami Dolphins. And before that was almost a decade ago, the 2015 New York Jets. Like, there's been, like, crazy gaps, and we're definitely in one of those. But very rare to have a team win 10 games and not be in the playoffs.
Yeah, but we talked about it last week, the imbalance between the top of the league and bottom of the league. You had two 14 wins teams, you know, in a showdown on Sunday night, and then you got...
That was great.
And then you got 10 teams that are like had three or four wins. Like, it was just, you're either really good this year or these teams are really bad. And so when you have that many bad teams, all these wins that are out there for, you know, the Seahawks or the Bengals and stuff like that, that won 8, 9, 10 games, you know, a lot of difference. And then now in a 17 game season, 10 wins, just, you know, is it a half a game less than it would have been a 16 game season when you're a 10-6 team versus a 10-7 team? It used to be 9-7. You're on the bubble. 10 wins, maybe that 10-7, maybe like the 9-7 in the 16 game schedule right now. So, I mean, it was still a solid season for the Seahawks. I think they probably got the right coach in there. Geno Smith, you know, had a great last game versus the Rams here. I just don't know if that's a Geno's the Super Bowl winning quarterback for them in that team. Is he a team that's always, he's the quarterback that's always going to keep this team in a conversation for the division title, but not necessarily be the guy that's going to take them to the Super Bowl.
So we'll sprinkle in some of these predictions as we go along, I think. How's that?
Yeah. Well, touching base on Seattle, I mean, for Geno, a great last game. I mean, he cashed in a $6 million bonus, so that was really good for him. Had one of his best years stats-wise. But you mentioned Seattle. They just fired their offensive coordinator 1 year in, so he's out. So they're making a move there. They could never get the run game going. Inconsistent. And, you know, Jason had mentioned Seattle. Seattle went 7-1 on the road this year, guys, but 3-6 at home. And you talk about the two teams, Rome, Cincinnati and Seattle. What do they both have in common? A lot of big home losses.
Yeah.
So really nobody to blame but themselves. I mean, if you told me Seattle was going to go 7-1 on the road, that's divisional
that's a good
winning
team
record.
Yeah.
But then 3-6 with losses to the Giants at home. So, yeah, Seattle, I think they got the right coach. Geno, is he the answer? Probably not. I know he's looking for kind of a new contract, but he's worth the $25, $35 million.
He's solid.
He does make a lot of turnovers. He's like Sam Darnold-esque. He, you know, he'll have some games where he'll go on a roll for a month, and then three games where you're just like shaking your head like, this isn't the guy. Seattle, where they're at, who knows where they're going to be able to draft. Where they got Sam Howell as a backup. He didn't look good when he came in that game against Green Bay. So for the offseason for Seattle, offensive line issues, can they get the run game going? Who's going to be the new offensive coordinator? And is Geno the future of that team?
Nice. So on our preseason predictions, Seattle was at 7.5 wins. Me and you and Aaron, we had them as the wild cards. We just missed out on that one. I think that's okay. But we did both have them over on the wins. We predicted they would have 10. That's crazy. That's good. Jason was, I believe, the only one that had the Rams over 8.5. And so that was a great pick over that. He had them at 9 wins. And then a few of us picked the 49ers. Aaron, you're the only one to say the 49ers would win under 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great lock there.
I think I hit that before Thanksgiving, man. Should have brought that up then.
You should have, man. Ironically, man, so I forgot where I saw this from, but the Bengals and the Pats, right? That week one win for the Pats, week one loss for the Bengals, screwed both their seasons over. Pats can have the number one seed, and Bengals could be in the playoffs right now.
Well, it's funny. The Pats won their first and last game of the season.
Yeah. And so to the middle. Next category, big wins to build for next year. Panthers over the Falcons. Young looked really, really good. I loved it. Penix looked great too, you know, but got to give it to Young. What a turnaround this year, 2024. I'm feeling pretty confident about him taking another step next year. I think Panthers have a lot of things to look forward to. They loaded up with talent this year. It didn't click immediately. They looked like shit. Let's just be honest. They look like maybe like the worst team in the NFL for like the first half. It was them or the Giants or the Raiders. You know, you could have picked either one. Second half, I know they had a not so great record. Jason pointed out the last podcast when I was like re-editing that thing because I was saying 1-6, 1-6, 1-6. Like, all right, all right. But nonetheless, though, like they looked way better, competitive, and it was really fun and exciting. Great win, man. It was a shootout. And I think we believe that was not going to be the case. The other one, Bears versus the Packers. Big win. They have not beat the Packers in how long, Jason?
It was like 5 years.
And they have not won in Lambeau in how long, Jason?
That I don't even know. It's been a long time.
Oh, man. I should have wrote down a stat.
We might have been in college. I don't know.
It's a long time, dude. It was like 10 or so years, I think.
I'm pretty sure I remember the game. I can't remember the year. There was a season that Julius Peppers took out Aaron Rodgers early in the first quarter.
I was a big Peppers fan, dude.
It was probably that game.
Very big win. It was like almost a replay, deja vu, what happened in the first game, except, and then to the Bears, just terrible clock management. That's just been like their Achilles heel all year round, but they spiked it just in time.
Got,
I think it was like, what,
it
2
right.
seconds
they
left?
They finally got it right, the clock management.
I finally got it right.
No. I'll defend the Bears here. As you said, terrible clock management. If you redo the Eberflus play on Thanksgiving Day, they did the opposite. They called the timeout early, you know, and then got everybody set and did, you know, set it all up and used it correctly in this order. So it was just a bad turnover by DJ Moore there in the last 2 minutes of the game to even allow that. I was like, I thought the game was on ice. You know, Willis was in. The Packers were kind of just like, man, we got Love hurt. It's over. And then the Bears, I'm like, oh my God, they're just going to give this game away. Like they're going to win this game and they're just going to just give it to them on a bad turnover. But I think Caleb is, his highlights of the year have been, you know, this game in the fourth quarter, the drive in those three consecutive division games, the Bears lost, but he was driving them down the field, you know, the go ahead score in that Commanders game. When it's mattered the most, Caleb's put together some game, you know, some almost game-winning drives that the team's eventually blown, but this one came through. I thought that kick was getting blocked, though, man. The Packers had one guy break through on there. I was like, it's going to get blocked.
It was nice. The shitty part, though, like this goes against like our argument. I really wanted Saquon to play, but then you have the Packers on the other side. Everyone played. Love gets hurt. We'll see how his wrist looks in the playoffs, and they lose Watson out for the rest of the season. Big loss towards ACL, so...
Yeah, I mean the Packers still had something to play for. You know, there was some seeding on the line. I don't blame LaFleur or any of those guys playing them. But at a certain point, though, once Love got banged up, it's like, okay, we got to pull them out. Yeah, you got to pull them out, and I agree with that. So it was interesting. I think it was something to build on for the Bears. I had people texting me like, you're gonna get a worse draft position. Like, I don't care about the draft position at this point. It was between like the 8th and the 10th pick or whatever the heck they're at now. I'd rather take the win over the Packers. Something positive for the team, especially like Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze. Like they had a great connection on the sideline for a tiptoe catch that Dunze got. It was a big win for Thomas Brown. He's probably out the door, but it was his only win as the interim head coach. It was cool in the post game interview. Like those guys like really rallied around him and kind of
liked
doing
him.
I think they liked him and know that there's going to be a change, but I think he was a guy that the players liked. It just didn't work out. It was a bad hand he was dealt. But definitely booming him, but it was a good win. I think something to build on.
Definitely.
I've said that in years past. Now I don't want to talk about the head coaching crap now, but like we're gonna, you know, that'll be what decides the offseason is who the heck they hire. So
it was really good. I forgot what I was gonna mention. Damn it. Let's visit that division real quick. So, Jason, you had the Bears obviously over 8.5 wins. Aaron, so did you. I was the only one to go under. You guys did claim the NFC North, the best division. I wrote that down in quotation marks. And then Jason...
Quotation marks, that's a fact.
Jason had the Packers as the wild card. And Aaron, you had the Bears as a wild card. And the Lions as a wild card. And I had the Lions winning the division. Lions were over under 10.5, Packers 9.5, Vikings 6.5. So wild, wild division.
I'll say for the most part, Aaron and I were right about the Lions and Packers. We were wrong on the Vikings and Bears. It was just the inverse between those two teams.
We were right about three teams getting the playoffs in that division too. So, like I said, where we were wrong is very minimal. Very minimal. Both of it was right.
Is that
where we were wrong? We were wrong bad. Oh, bad. But everything else was pretty right on.
So is that stat true that the Pack and the Bears have the same division record?
Yes.
1-5.
1-5.
Yeah.
You still feel good about the Pack?
Me?
Yeah.
I do. I'm not going to reveal my pick for that game till a later pod, but I still feel very good about the Packers.
1-5 in your own division. I don't know. I wouldn't feel too good.
Well, you got to consider you got a 15-win and a 14-win team.
Yeah, I don't make the rules, but
they lost by a combined what, maybe 10 points in three of those games. So,
is there anybody else you guys would put in like the big wins heading into the next year? I really couldn't find anything else out.
Like just teams trying to build momentum.
Yeah,
I go back to your Panthers game a little bit just to talk about that.
Yeah, let's do it.
You know. The last three games that Bryce Young played, I was giving you a hard time of what they had, you know, win loss record. But I think last three games versus Arizona, Tampa Bay, Atlanta, you know, Bryce Young threw 7 touchdowns, no interceptions in those three games. And so I think if you're looking at, you get the win in this last game, you know, actually won 2 out of 3 to end the season between the Arizona and Atlanta game in overtime. Bryce Young played great. Turnover-free football in that game for what he's done so far. I think that's something positive for a team that was really bad last year, looked bad at the start of this year, you know, was able to bench Bryce, get Andy Dalton some starts, have Bryce look on, had to come back in, build some confidence. I think that's something for them to look forward to. Whether the win, I guess, is something, but I think overall they know what they got in Bryce now. Okay, now it's up to the team to be adding something in the offseason to give him more weapons. And they got a lot of young players around him because they traded pretty much all of any of the vets they had offensively kind of at the trade deadline. That I can't remember. They were playing like 3 rookie wide receivers at one point. So they got a young core that they're building around. Is next year, you know, a year that, hey, we're just going to take a step. You know, we only won 5 games this year. Are we talking them kind of like the Cardinals next year, you know, this year where they're, hey, maybe they're an 8-9 team, the Panthers are next year, and they're going to take that step. But I think it's something to build on going into the offseason. I like what you said about them earlier, Rob.
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, Bryce Young compared to where he was week 18 to where he was week 2 against the Chargers when they got shut out 26-0 and he got benched after that game. He's playing with a lot more confidence. And he's to Jason smiling. Said, 7 touchdowns, no picks the last 3 games. Ironically, beating 2 potential playoff teams in Arizona and Atlanta and finishing them off. I know Tampa won and would have eliminated Atlanta regardless, but Arizona was still in the mix until they lost that game in overtime to the Panthers. I think the key for Carolina going forward, they got to get some playmakers. Adam Thielen was really good for them, but they got a run game going. And I like their coach. He's young. Both fiercer guys. Again, you got an owner that can be reckless, can get a little crazy. Will he be patient?
I hope so with this one. I hope so.
I hope so too.
Young
for Bryce and for Dave Canales. I hope he stays the course, lets these guys play it out, and lets them have 3 or 4 years together, and let's see what Carolina can become. Because I believe potentially if they get the right players there, the way Young's progressed, this could be a playoff team.
Yeah, I would go as far as like I'm going to put them at 8 wins next year. We'll see what happens. Young had his nice.
Did you have their over and under for this year? It's probably 5.5, yeah. Right? Was it 5.5?
So it was 5.5.
Yeah, that's what I assumed it would be.
For some reason, I didn't put any notes for this.
I'm assuming we all went under 5.5.
I did have the Bucks winning division. You guys had the Falcons. Jason was a push on the 9.5 for the wins for the Falcons.
It's hard to push 9.5.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe the total was 8.5 for the Bucks. Because I remember we were...
Bucks was 7.5.
Yeah, remember I told you that was a lock of the year when we were driving home from Vegas when people were talking about Tampa sucking.
Well, we were talking about, yeah, but then you went different when we did the pod. Yeah.
Well, I didn't say they were going to win the division.
Yeah.
I said they would go over 7.5. I believe I might have had Tampa as a wild card team. I don't remember. But I think I had them as a 9-8 team.
I think we talked about it off there, but not on the pod.
Yeah.
But I can't blame you for not going against the Bucks. Any other teams that you would... put in there going to next year, momentum, something to build off of?
No, I think that's it for the teams out of the playoffs at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for the teams out of the playoffs, I guess you could throw the Colts in there if you want.
Maybe
Shane Steichen saved his job with that win. Rumors that he was on the hot seat, but Jim Irsay came out and said they're all safe, but they did get rid of Gus Bradley later this evening.
A lot of people are safe.
For now, we'll see what happens with that Raiders position here.
I think the Giants keeping their GM was the biggest shocker to me.
We could say the same about Jacksonville.
Yeah, I guess so. So big wins for teams going to the playoffs. I got Texans over the Titans. I know you guys said it wasn't a big deal because they had their positioning already locked in. I just thought they haven't played really well on the tail end of the season. I feel like they really needed that win. That's why I was kind of going for them over the Titans, and I thought they probably feel better about themselves now. Commanders over the Cowboys. How many – they just did what the Commanders do this year, you know, come back from behind. That was really fun. Lions over the Vikings. The game was tight in the first half or going, you know – towards the end of the second, and then Gibbs scored, what, 4 touchdowns?
Yep.
Ass whooping. Great game plan from the D coordinator on the Lions. I just thought, like, maybe it was just, you know, just a bad game from the Vikings. I'm not going to punish them too much on that one. Darnold didn't look great, but he's been good all season long, so it is what it is. Ravens demolishing the Browns. Just putting the final touches on like a really great season. Lamar being the first quarterback to get, what, 4,000 yards, 900 rushing, 40 TDs passing. Really impressive. Hell of a lot better than his last year when he won MVP. I can't remember who else had like a crazy stat from that game from the Ravens, but just putting the exclamation point of like them having like a really solid team.
Yeah, it was a great slate of Saturday football for your AFC North overall, Rome. I know we briefly talked about that Bengals Steelers game. I think you're trying to just go over it, but yeah,
it was ugly.
It was ugly, but yeah, going back to the Ravens, I mean, we knew they're going to win the game. It was just by how much. I think it was my first pick of the week. Give me the 20 points. They're going to cover, and they did. Yeah, Lamar really making that case, like you said, for the MVP here on the last point of the season. They were a team early on in the year, you know, schedule, when you look at that, you know, first couple weeks of the season, they're 0-2. That loss to the Raiders in week 2 really was like, man, what's up with this team? I know I'm pretty sure I picked them to win the division, if I remember correctly.
Who?
On your stuff.
Yeah,
the
you
Ravens
did. Yeah,
the Ravens. You can check me on that, Rome. But I just really love that organization and what they do year in and year out, the consistency of excellence and how they, you know, just build the defense and build, you know, the offensive tools around Lamar. And at 0-2, it was really looking shaky. And then they just went on that run, you know, had a few losses, you know, kind of a bad, you know, tough loss. It wasn't bad, just a tough loss to the Steelers in midseason. Thought they were getting their momentum, and they just finished strong. And, you know, they didn't take anything for granted down the stretch, you know, really taking it to Houston, you know, really take it to your Steelers a couple of weeks prior, and then do what they need to do against the Browns and clinch the division. So, you know, I love them in the playoffs. It's going to be super tight. You probably have a 3-way race between the Ravens, the Bills, and the Chiefs from the AFC perspective. And I think this was a good win for them going into the playoffs. But going back to the Lions game, you know, that was the heavyweight matchup of the night and probably and really the day. The second half maybe didn't live up to, you know, what the hype was there, but the first half was like, man, these are two high scoring offenses. Rome, you probably took the over in this game, you know, or what things were going to go over. I mean, we thought it was gonna be a ton of offense, and they had a lockdown early. And I bring this up because you mentioned the defense. For me, I've been saying the downfall of the Lions, all these injuries, the defense. Well, the defense showed up in the first half, and they're like, cool, we're taking out Jefferson. We're taking out Addison. You're not going to be able to run the ball here. Like, we are locked down with our second and third string. Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator, he was putting his best audition to be a head coach in this game.
Most
he's like,
definitely.
I'm gonna pull the fourth and fifth string guys. I think the on the broadcast, Collinsworth and Tarico were talking like,
oh, he was loving like,
oh,
it.
Oh yeah, well they were talking like, ah, Aaron Glenn called up some of his old cornerback friends like Dion and stuff to see if they'll come and play for him right now for this game because they're so deep into the depth chart at a certain point. But I as good as the offense, and I'm you know highlighting Ben Johnson all the time. The real star of that game was you know what Aaron Glenn was able to do with this Lions defense, and now like, hey, they are for real going in the playoffs. The NFC runs through Detroit, and I think it was a huge statement win for them because they. Even to the three NFC North playoff teams, they're like, we are the team of the NFC North. We own it. And I really shout out to the Lions for that performance because it was impressive.
To that post-game speech from Dave Campbell, man, gave me the chills. I fucking loved everything of it. He's a great
who's
coach.
Who's Dave Campbell?
Dan Campbell.
Aaron. Dave Campbell, is he the guy, like the Wendy's guy? Is that Dave?
I was actually thinking about Wendy's. Oh my god, it's a water.
Yeah, man, touch on the Lions, man. I mean, big getting back Anzalone. That was huge at linebacker. Best linebacker, can play coverage one-on-one against a tight end. And that was big. Having him back was the lift they needed. Without him there, I don't think Aaron Glenn would have been able to do what he was able to do. Look, at Minnesota didn't scheme up that game very good. Probably thought they could just beat these guys one-on-one. They didn't. They didn't run the ball enough. They ran it okay. Could have ran it more. If they do meet in the playoffs, I believe Minnesota will have a better game plan for them and give them a better offensive showing. Touching on Baltimore, Lamar, did he wrap up the MVP? That's the question. You know, he played. Josh Allen didn't. His stats are better than last year. Obviously, the Ravens are the one seed and didn't win 14 games. But like Jason hinted on, they started 0-2. They've been rolling. They're the hottest team going into the postseason, probably outside of Detroit. So, in Derrick Henry, what do you have, 1,800 yards rushing? Everybody gave up
impressive.
On this guy. $8 million. $8 million. You're paying this guy $500,000 a game to do what he's doing.
Yeah.
Baltimore, they look scary. And another big win you didn't touch on, but the Chargers. The Chargers winning to avoiding Baltimore in round one. That's huge. You drop the Steelers on the Ravens. Russell Wilson, you mentioned Rome. Like, they keep taking a step back. This seems to be pretty typical for Tomlin teams.
Once they got 9 wins, man, they quit on the season. I'm sick of it. Right for a change.
I mean, I saw the worst wide receiver performance I've seen from a wide receiver this year. Pickens. I mean, that was terrible.
It's embarrassing.
4 drops, 1 catch, 0 yards.
He lost a yard, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, 900 coming into the game.
I think that's probably the next topic. Most disappointing teams. Steelers definitely should be on that list going forward.
I didn't make that list, but we could definitely do that because there's definitely some disappointing teams this year.
Well, if we're talking about the Steelers right now, though, because the one thing I was going to bring up when you brought up the Bengals winning that game and where the Steelers have been trending offensively early in the season, you brought up Fields and what they were able to do with the running game.
Was
and
Fields
dynamic.
Even active?
I don't even know.
Because I know he was active, not active the game before, so I don't even know he was active and able to play. I don't remember him saying anything.
Regardless, I think the thing you want to talk about, early in the season when they were winning these games, the ball control they were doing offensively and the offensive line moving the defense and them having a three-headed monster in the running game. But in this game versus the Bengals at a 19-17 game, you only give Najee Harris 12 carries. You only give Jaylen Warren 6 carries. So you're giving Russell Wilson 31 attempts right now, and you had some success midseason when you installed Russ. It was like, hey, we're gonna stretch the field. We're going to throw the deep ball. Like, we gave them a lot of praise for that because it was an element the Steelers hadn't seen in the offense. But at the same time, I think they were able to stretch the field because you had all this great running games that teams were preparing for, but now you're just going away from it. You know, you can't move the ball. And I think that really have hurt the Steelers down the stretch.
On X, I just pulled up my tweet. I was just mentioning like the Russell advantage with him and his moon balls was gone once Pickens got hurt, and he wasn't really as mobile in the pocket either. And so why not bring out Fields and kind of open that up a little bit? But
Right now, I think the Steelers, their problem is they don't have any confidence in any of their quarterbacks. They're playing not to lose rather than going out and attack and win. I mean, Russell Wilson back in week 13 threw for over 400 yards and they scored 45 points on this defense.
That's what's now, even granted, more impressive.
Now, granted, Cincinnati's played better defensively and gotten a lot more turnovers. But to Jason mentioned, 18 carries between their two running backs. Harris did get banged up and get evaluated for concussion, so that might have to do something with the carries being limited for him. But they didn't open it up till late in the game. They got a touchdown, and then they got stopped on their fourth down. And since he took over and, you know, basically needed out to finish that game off.
So you brought up quarterback. One thing, we talked about the Jets earlier, looked like Aaron Rodgers, his last game with the Jets.
I believe.
I heard it this weekend. I thought initially when Rodgers left the Packers that the Steelers were the best fit at that time. Is the Steelers the destination for Aaron Rodgers this offseason?
He can't move.
I believe it is. Tomlin loves Rodgers. He doesn't have two quarterbacks he has confidence in. And Rodgers is going to come in on a discount. I would bring him in for a look if I'm Pittsburgh for sure.
Because you're probably getting a 2-for-1.
You get Devontae too.
You're Devontae.
And they wanted to trade for Devontae as well.
They tried to,
partnered up with Rodgers in New York.
Yeah, that's kind of funny, guys.
I was thinking the same thing today. So, I mean, me and Jason on the same wavelength here.
By the way, you guys had the Steelers under 8.5 wins. I mentioned they would have the best defense in the NFL. That came true for about 5 games, and then it disappeared. I think, Aaron, you had the Bengals winning the division?
Yes, I did.
You had Ravens as a wild card. Jason had the Ravens winning it with the Bengals as the wild card. Crazy. I totally forgot what we were talking about. So we talked about Ravens, Lions. We got Commanders and Texans.
Disappointing teams? You want to talk about your disappointing teams or what?
I didn't make a category, but, you know, Steelers, they haven't looked the same since they won that ninth, tenth game. It's been the pattern now for, I think, like the last 2 Roethlisberger years and ever since then. And it seems like he's just burnt out. I don't know. Maybe I'm starting to believe all that social media stuff. Saw a lot of memes, a lot of stuff going around about Tomlin, how he looks on the sidelines, dejected. Maybe he needs a new change of scenery. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. Disappointing, though.
I think he needs a quarterback he can be excited about.
Yeah.
Well, and I think Jason hinted at a guy just a few minutes ago.
I think we did, yeah. Other disappointing teams, though, I don't know. There's a lot of disappointment, but I think
it's not disappointment because they won and beat the Titans, but if you're looking at the Texans right now having to play the Chargers, it was great for the Chargers, and I think this Texans team has not looked great all season. Stroud's definitely had a bit of the sophomore slump, and I think disappointment going to the playoffs is this team's right for a first-round exit against the Chargers and them kind of searching for some answers in the offseason. So I don't know if it fits the category of what we're talking about right now because they just beat a lowly Titans team, but the Texans haven't been it all year, especially down these last couple weeks down the stretch when it kind of mattered the most. And this was a team that Aaron, I think, picked to go to the Super Bowl at a certain point, and the step that they were supposed to take, they mostly look like they have regressed this year.
Yeah, I mean, Texans, we'll see what happens with them. Playoffs, I mean, Dolphins, they've got to be a disappointment. I mean, I know Tua got hurt, but me and Jason, as you mentioned, off the air, Rome, we had them pick to win the division and do some big things. So that was a disappointment. That's another destination that I believe, you know, if needs a quarterback or somebody to back up Tua, if he wants to be a backup quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, I think he can still play pretty well in that system.
Well, it's interesting more with the Dolphins, too, that Tyreek's basically saying, I'm out. So he's done.
He's still 2 years left, I think, in his contract.
Yeah, but he's given I think he posted a picture of Antonio Brown on his Instagram today or something like that. So
not a good sign. I mean,
running out of MetLife Stadium or what?
Yeah, I think it was that picture. So for a team that the hopes were high, what McDaniel had been able to do, what this offense looked like last year, you know, this was a team that was investing to be in the Super Bowl and be a Super Bowl contender and own that division. I think that's what Aaron and I were so high in them, is like, hey, offensively, they got to figure it out. And defensively, they had some moves to make. But overall, the offense is what let them down. They had no backup plan that was great behind Tua for a quarterback that had the concussion history and everything to go around with it. So once he went down, the offense wasn't the same. When he came back, it was kind of too little too late. And now if you're saying I'm losing Tyreek, what's the identity of this offense with Miami, you know, going forward? And is it already kind of on the downslope for McDaniel here? Because the question into the year, if we talk to the AFC East picks, where I was definitely wrong and Aaron was wrong too, was the Bills, because I think we both had him on the outside looking in. Rome, I'm guessing you had the Bills winning the division by your manners there.
You guys talked me out of it. Okay. I was really pissed off. I remember the week after week, I was like, fuck you guys. Because I had him winning.
That, you could say that's where we were wrong. Yeah, we owned up to that very early in the season, because that first month really played out where Josh Allen was not missing Stephon Diggs. It didn't matter who they were around him. He was proving that he's going to make the players better around him. And that was the prove it aspect of Josh Allen. Now I think you're just all in. Whatever you surround Josh Allen with, he's going to make the most out of it. And this is going to be his run. But now, okay, cool. He's going to own the division now. Going back to the Dolphins, what is their path going forward? Because the Bills are going to own the division. I guess their only saving grace is the Patriots are terrible and they're in the mix of a rebuild that's going to take a little time. And the Jets were supposed to be Super Bowl contenders, and now they got to kind of blow this thing up there too. So that the only saving grace for the Dolphins is they have, you know, other teams in their division have more drama as they do. But it's very disappointing for the Dolphins because you don't know what direction they're going to take.
Yeah, I mean, the whole Tyreek Hill thing with Miami, I'd get him out of town, get some draft picks for him, get some capital. Yeah. I don't think Miami's far away. I mean, defensively, we came in with a lot of questions. I thought that was the strength of their team. They hired a new coach from Baltimore. He brought in that Raven scheme that's been so great for the last 20 years, and that worked out. They got some players there. They still got Waddle. They got a nice wide receiver in Washington, the tight ends. But again, the quarterback situation, like, are you going to put all your eggs in a basket on Tua? Or are you going to go out and get a backup quarterback? Because they just didn't have that. I mean, like Jason said, when Tua came back, they won some games. They beat the Rams in L.A. on a Monday night. Already beaten the Jets. Played the Bills tough a couple times. But, you know, Tua's, you know, like we've said, he's one hit away from being in the retirement home. So,
yeah.
With that, they need to bring in a backup quarterback. And, you know, Tyreek Hill doesn't want to be there. That's fine. You always want guys that want to be there. He's got 2 years left on his contract, but you can still get some players from him, whether it's a second and a third, whatever the case is. Yeah, definitely.
What do you think if he ends up with the Carolina Panthers?
I don't know if that's the person you put in a locker room.
I don't think so
light. I mean, it's a
weapon. Somebody like that.
Yeah, someone like that. But I with a young team like that, I don't know if they're the missing piece away. Yeah.
No. So disappointing teams, Dolphins, Jets especially, man. So I had the Jets as a wild card, but I think I end up switching them to winning the division. Do you guys remember what you guys had the Jets as?
We had them in the wild card. I think you already said this, right?
No.
I know we had the Dolphins winning.
I mean, we had the Jets making the playoffs. I had the Jets getting to the AFC Championship game and getting beat by Houston. I know that for a fact.
Jason had the let me go backtrack. Aaron, you had Texans versus the Jets in the AFC Championship.
Yes.
And then, Jason, you're right. You had him a wild card. You had the Dolphins winning the division and possible Super Bowl run. That was your prediction.
Possible. I'm pretty sure I had the Ravens and Chiefs in the AFC Championship
game.
You
did. Yeah, with the Chiefs winning. Cool shit. I think besides the Bengals, that's Bengals and Colts for the rest of the AFC. Those are like the most disappointing teams. Colts should have been a playoff team, I think.
I think another disappointment, I'm just going to throw it out there, the Falcons. Given how big of a divisional lead they had, to blow that and see Kirk Cousins dwindle like he did, shocking. Shocking given where they were. I believe Atlanta probably had like an 80-90% chance to make the playoffs and win the division.
that's why I was happy that the Panthers won the last game. Just, you know, it didn't provide any hope. Just put the nail in the coffin. It was really beautiful.
Well, just I think the bright spot, Penix Jr. was the right pick for them. And he's going to be a nice little addition for them going forward.
People ridiculed them for drafting a quarterback at that position. But now that we know everything that's happened after the fact, you know, the medical reports coming out, stuff like that.
I mean, let's put it this way. Penix would be a top 10 pick again in this upcoming draft. Probably top five. So
yeah,
I was going to say, he might be the best quarterback if he was coming out this year.
They hedged the bets very well. So props to them, man. I'm excited for Penix next year. I thought they have a lot to look forward to next year. We'll see how he does.
Speaking of that, Aaron, there's a lot. I mean, we talked about Penix there for a second, but a lot of rumors this week that the Vikings are going to have to extend Darnold. And are they going to make J.J. McCarthy available? Because basically he is probably the best prospect. He could be basically the number one overall pick in the draft if he was coming out this year.
That's what they said,
Do they make him available for a draft haul right now to one of these teams that isn't in love with, you know, Shedeur Sanders or some of these other guys in this round?
I think, I think we're going to judge Darnold off what he does these last two games against the Packers and obviously the Lions in the playoffs. What I saw, I'm franchise tagging Darnold and I'm keeping JJ. I don't think Darnold's a long-term answer, especially the struggles there. And if he struggles again here in the playoffs, you can't invest, you know, $200 million in him.
I think he's a starting quarterback, but JJ is also one at the collegiate level. And he's pretty solid, was a hardball guy. I think that kind of translates to the NFL pretty well. So, yeah, I like JJ as well. But they could probably, what do you think they can get for him?
For JJ?
Three,
four first rounds.
Just depends on, I mean, you could be looking at with the Bears haul for Bryce Young. That was basically a pick swap and another first and a second. And like, there's an impact player, but I agree with Aaron. I just brought it up, but I agree with Aaron. You keep him, especially what Darnold looked like last night in prime time for the world to see, even though he's had a great year, but he's going to be judged on these moments coming up. And if you could have the two quarterbacks and use what Aaron's Green Bay Packers have done as a model, you don't need to rush this decision. You know, if you have a capable backup that's under a rookie deal right now, you can play this out for a few years and get J.J. McCarthy ready for when he eventually takes over.
Well, yeah, I mean, that and J.J.'s been hurt the whole year. So he's not practicing. He's not getting any reps. So to me, if you're Minnesota, we talked about it before the season even started. They hadn't announced who the quarterback was going to be. And then JJ gets the meniscus tear and is out for the season. And Darnold just, you know, skyrocketed, had a great year, but really struggled. You know, he missed Justin Jefferson for quite a few open passes and a couple touchdowns last night. Again, he's going to be judged by what he does in the playoffs. If he happens to make a deep run, maybe you reevaluate it. But to me, probably franchise Darnold. That's what going to be $45, $50 million one-year deal. Prove it again. And then if he does great, maybe the quarterback class the following year is probably not going to be that great. So JJ could be 2 years there. You could still deal him. People would still be interested because you get years three and four, look at him before you have to extend him on a rookie contract. So they've got options, Minnesota, and that's a good thing for them.
Yeah. Other disappointing teams, would you guys put the Colts, maybe the Jaguars there? Aaron, you had the Jags as a wild card team. You and Jason, actually.
Did I?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember about the Jags.
Yeah, I would put the Jags as a disappointment. It's so hard to remember just early in the season, them starting at 0-4. At a certain point, we were talking about job security for Peterson there as they were going into that London trip versus the Bears, whether he was going to come home or not. But I'd say on the upside for the Jags right now, if you're looking into next season, they nailed their first round pick in Brian Thomas. Like, incredible year for him. Trevor Lawrence, I'm still not the biggest believer that, you know, this guy's a top 10 quarterback is for all the hype he got out of college, but
I don't think so either.
Is there a head coaching candidate that's, you know, looking at that and they see something different? You irritated me last week. You're talking about Ben Johnson, you know, but honestly, honestly, we're not even wrong. There's local Jacksonville people are talking about, and I mentioned the last time that he could be the that could be the place for him, and he's interested. And you look at, hey, there's a ton of weapons that they have around him, you know, at the skill position, you know, good running backs, you know, great wide receiver that they picked up. And does Trevor Lawrence turn into almost a redemption project that he can get out of what a Trevor Lawrence that, you know, that he got out of Goff? And so there's could be some similarity stuff and stuff to like there. So, but I would say it's a disappointing year because you look at Doug Peterson, this guy won a Super Bowl for the Eagles that, you know, this the Super Bowl that they could never win in Philadelphia. And then they always like, you know, you win a Super Bowl in Philly, they're going to build a statue out and all this stuff. I mean, this guy wins the Super Bowl, gets
him
fired
out so fast. Yeah.
Yeah. He was out so fast, gets this job after Urban Meyer, you know, messed up down there. And you'd figure this would have been the right fit for him to turn that around. And it just didn't this year.
Never
and,
materialized.
Nah, it was unfortunate because I think I Peterson's him. Overall is a pretty good coach, but I mean, him, yeah. something internally there where he's now gotten fired from these two places, and the guys, he's one of the, I don't know how many active coaches have won Super Bowls right now. There's like four.
He's probably not going to get another coaching job though. Head coaching for like a little bit. He'll probably,
he's probably not going to get another head coaching gig, but he'll get an OC job
for sure.
I mean, look, he went 9-8 his first 2 years with a playoff appearance. And one of the biggest comebacks in playoff history when they came back and beat the Chargers when they were down 27-0.
They gave
the Chiefs a good matchup during the divisional round when the Chiefs went on to win the Super Bowl.
Most definitely.
So we expected, Jason and I obviously thought they would at least stay 9-8, 10-7, and take that next step and compete for the division. They didn't. Every time it seemed like Doug Peterson was going to get fired, Rome, he was like number one or two on your hot seat, they'd win a game that they weren't supposed to win. And you go, oh, this is what the Jaguars look like. And then they go back to disappointment. Your guy you love, Mac Jones, you know, he performed, you know, okay. Kept him in games, won a game here and there. But, yeah, Trevor Lawrence, I'm not as high on him. I agree with Jason, but he is talented. He's got a decent arm. He's mobile. I believe if you get the right offensive-minded guy in there, he can be kind of a turnaround project like we saw with Sam Darnold. I think he's just as good, if not better, than Sam Darnold. And Sam Darnold can win 14 games in this league with the right OC and weapons. Trevor Lawrence.
I don't know.
Trevor Lawrence is better than Sam Darnold. I'd take him over him today if you gave me the choice. But, Johnson, like the sources are saying, the sources are out. That's a hot topic right now. You get the running back, Evan Engram at tight end, Brian Thomas, rookie of the year wide receiver-wise. There's a lot to like there, and a young defense, too.
That's a lot to digest.
The only thing about the Jags, I'll tell you, is overall ownership with them, too. You know, Shad Khan, who's owned this team for a while, you know, they were all in with Urban Meyer, and that was a big mistake, and they made Rush. There was something recently I read on X a couple hours ago. I don't know. Shad Khan was doing an interview with somebody. On the interview with the GM, it looks like on the call, Trent Baalke, Shad Khan basically said if a prospective coach gave him a reason why that GM should – why Trent Baalke shouldn't be there, he would consider still hiring this coach and getting rid of the GM. So that's the guy you're still entrusting to be GM of this organization, Trent Baalke, right now. I'm willing to get rid of him if a head coaching candidate makes, you know, makes a good case for why I need to bring in my own guy.
Sounds like the Bears.
I like that from an owner that's keeping an open mind.
I guess, but it's like if you're that iffy on your GM, you don't believe in his vision, cool, then get rid of the guy now and get the right person that you're looking to do this organization. But yeah, Rome, you're right. It does sound like the Bears. The best organizations are the one that have that synergy between ownership, general manager, front office, and the head coach. And tons of these teams do this in the wrong order and don't have that aligned. And that alignment, you know, when it comes to player development, you know, player personnel moves, like, and doesn't align with what the coach wants, that's what leads a ton of dysfunction in the organization. And that's a question mark to me.
Bears, Jags, Giants, they should all fire their GMs right now. Start fresh. Let's see. AFC South. Did we talk about that yet? Yeah, we did.
We just got off of it.
Yeah. What's left, guys? Should I just review some of the other picks? Do you guys remember who we had in the NFC Championship?
Well, I know I had the 49ers, so
we all had the 49ers.
I don't think I had the 49ers.
You did.
I'm pretty sure I had Lions versus Packers in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, Packers 49ers.
Hmm. I don't remember that. I'm going to have to go back and listen to the tape.
I had Lions 49ers.
But I thought you had Eagles. Though, I think you have Eagles Chiefs Super Bowl, Jason.
Jason had the Eagles against the 49ers.
I had a rematch.
Okay. I remember you had one way for rematch. I didn't remember what year it was.
I had the Lions against the 49ers with the Lions moving on to the Super Bowl. And then for the AFC.
I know you jumped on the Texans. You put the Texans in the bandwagon room. You jumped on the juice with me on that one.
Yeah, do you suck me into that one? That one.
I remember you jumped on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, you had Texans beating the Jets, Jason Chiefs over the Ravens. And for some reason, I didn't write this down. Texans beating the Ravens. I don't feel good about that pick anymore, man. Jason, do you feel good about your Chiefs still? Your Chiefs pick? Now's the time for us to make new picks.
Well, I think we should save that for Friday.
Yeah, we got the look ahead to Friday. I mean, they're the number one seed. Everything goes through Arrowhead, but I think they have two challengers right now with the Ravens and Bills that can theoretically knock them off in the playoffs. And I don't know. At this point, what was it, a month ago, the Chiefs just like they hit the kicker hits the upright and it still goes in. Everything just seems to go right for this team.
That's why it has to go wrong in the playoffs.
And maybe.
I believe. I think we all have to believe.
I'll stick with my pick right now, but we'll talk about it probably game by game at this point.
Yeah. I don't remember who's – oh, these are Aaron's picks. Do you remember who you had MVP?
I don't.
Stroud.
Okay.
Rookie of the year?
Probably Caleb.
Yep. Coach of the year?
Coach of the year.
It's got to be your guy from the Colts, probably.
No, that's Rome's guy. It's either D'Amico Ryans or probably LaFleur, one of those two.
Yeah, LaFleur.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jason, I'm still trying to find our picks. I wrote them down somewhere and I can't find them. I'm about to listen to the pod again.
It's all right. We don't need to revisit.
Yeah, I just have Aaron's. I'm like, and then I scribbled out some other things I can't read. But let's see. Other divisions that we didn't talk about. You guys had the Chiefs winning the division.
We got every team right, I think, in pecking order.
We had the order Chiefs, Chargers, Raiders, Denver.
I probably had Denver ahead of the Raiders, but
possibly.
I'm pretty sure I did on that one.
I'm
I think we all confident. Had Raiders last. I'm pretty sure we all had the Raiders last.
You guys had my Steelers last in that AFC North.
Okay. Really? We had Cleveland over them, huh?
Yes, you guys did.
Mm.
Yeah.
I think we did that just to troll him. I don't think that was what we really believed.
I think we did that for weeks 14 through 18 is what we meant.
I don't even think the Browns beat the Steelers in 14 through 18.
But they did win a game, right?
I think they beat the Steelers.
Yeah. That Thursday night in the snow, so there you go. That started the losing streak, so.
Yeah. Let's see. NFC East. Jason, you had the Cowboys as a wild card.
I had the Cowboys not making the playoffs.
So did I. That was my switch. I nailed that one.
I don't think I had Washington making the playoffs. So.
I had them not making the playoffs, but I still had them over the 9.5 wins. Go figure.
They were 9.5 wins this year, Washington?
Cowboys.
Oh, Cowboys.
Washington was 6.5.
All right, I was going to say.
Jason had the Eagles winning that division.
I believe we all had the Eagles.
See, like, why are these notes not complete? We're cutting out of the podcast here. I didn't do all my homework.
Yeah. You just did my notes homework.
Cowboys
I got right.
NFC North, we talked about that one already.
Yeah.
NFC South, NFC West. Yeah, we had the wild card. Jason had the Rams as a wild card. Good call.
At least I got one right.
Yeah. Yeah, because we all had the 49ers. Although Aaron had them under 11 wins. Guaranteed, he said.
Guaranteed. I'm glad I put the guarantee on that one. Any other guarantees? Or is that the only one I gave you?
Everyone you missed, dude.
I'll take a 1-0 on guarantees. Can't beat that, man.
You guys both had the Bears over 8.5 wins.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Jason had...
I was looking really good in week 7.
I was looking really good with about like 3 seconds to go in that Washington game.
Jason had the Lions winning the division, but Bears second and the Pack third.
Well, the Pack did finish third.
Aaron had the Packers winning the division.
Yeah, let's Packers, see. Lions, Bears.
What else is really interesting here? We did say the Giants had the worst offensive line. I don't know. Aaron, you said that the Bills missed their window. How good is actually Josh Allen? Oh, it ended up being really fucking good. We all got suckered into the Jets. Ravens had the fourth toughest schedule to begin the season. We did talk about how we were concerned about Lawrence's injuries with the Jags. Question mark around Richardson.
Well, that got answered.
And we had questions about the new coach and Henry gone with the Titans. We nailed that one. So I had the Chargers in the playoffs.
Was the Chargers over under 9 wins? 9.5?
8.5.
I believe I had the over. I think we said 9-8. I think that's where I thought they would finish, about 9-8, 10-7.
Jason was under on that. But yeah, we did have them over. Raiders, they were 6.5.
We had to take the under, right?
I hope so.
I'm pretty sure we had them as like a 5-win team.
AFC out of all West. The predictions, them having Gardner Minshew as their starting quarterback.
We had the Raiders
everything.
Last in that division, at least.
Yeah.
They so ranked the Chiefs, Denver, and then Raiders. I don't know where the Chargers fit in there.
I'm pretty sure we probably had the Chargers. If you have the Chargers, I have the Chargers playoffs, and yeah. You can have them second.
So I had Chiefs, Chargers, Denver, and then Raiders.
I believe we had that division 100% right, and probably the AFC South. I'm pretty sure. Well, maybe not with Jacksonville.
Yeah, the Colts and the Jags switched places, so that kind of jacked us up. Some good calls, some misses, but I would say overall, pretty solid picks throughout the year.
I think the big miss for me and probably Jason too is on the Bills. That one really stung because it hit early that it was an obvious miss.
Goddamn. And that's
Bengals,
why I think...
Bengals kind of redeemed us a little bit by bouncing back, but when they were 4-8, that wasn't looking very good either.
It was not looking good.
Yeah, I own that on the Bills, though. I think we owned it early, and it was really a question. What was this? This is the prove it time as a quarterback, like we talked about for Josh Allen, and hey, you go through that contract cycle, and now you got to pay the big contract. You lose some of your weapons. What's generation two around you, and can you build new guys? And I think that was the prove it. You can. So,
all right, I think that's it for all the games. Right, year 2024. Onto the playoffs. You guys want to talk MVP real quick? Who do you guys got?
Who?
Here's my case for Josh Allen.
Well, you're giving me a case, but who do you got? By giving a case, it makes me seem you're throwing this off and you got somebody else as your MVP.
You know, it can go either way. I can see how Lamar deserves it. His stats are phenomenal. One of a kind, one of one. This guy's a beast, arms and legs. He does have some weapons around him. I think Henry really changed the game up for the Ravens. It's a second year with their current offensive scheme, offensive coordinator, and it really shows. They kind of struggle in the middle, but they are rolling on all cylinders now. Really big point differential. Bills, 13-4, could have been 14-3. They laid the egg on the last game, resting all their guys, but for Allen to do that with not as much talent around him, almost like what? No Pro Bowlers. This guy killed it. Stats are almost comparable. He did it with his legs and his arms. Not as impressive as Lamar Jackson's, but less turnovers overall. Took care of the football. I don't know. I'm rooting for Allen, but would not be upset if Lamar wins it again. Deserves it.
Yeah, if you look at the stats, Lamar has more passing yards, more touchdowns, more rushing yards.
Yep.
So statistically, when you're looking at it, it's tough to take it away from Lamar and where they're at. But did the defining kind of moment for Josh Allen in that Patriots, not the Patriots game, the Chiefs game, where the Chiefs and Bills are kind of like this Patriots-Colts rivalry of, you know, of our youth when it was Manning versus Brady every year. And now it's Bills versus Chiefs, and it's Josh Allen playing the Manning character of I can't get over the hump of the Mahomes like Brady, where he's got to defeat him. And I know they beat him in the regular season before, but it was just such a performance in that moment. Then you had the other one where he passed it to himself and everything like that, and had that game like that. So there were some moments. I know this isn't the Heisman Trophy, where generally like you need a Heisman moment to win the MVP. I agree with you, Rome. I don't think I'd be surprised if either one of them won, but I think just from a voter standpoint, I think Josh Allen has the edge because he's kind of been the favorite all year, and that's kind of where the chalk's been lying. But I think statistically, you probably make the better case that Lamar Jackson should win the MVP.
I think Jason brings up a great point. Josh Allen has those moments, those Heisman quote moments, right? The passing touchdown to himself, basically. The game against the Rams where he drops 40. Then he comes back the next week, drops 48 on the Lions. I mean, that looks really impressive given where the Lions are right now.
Yeah.
And, Rome, you said it. He had one receiver coming in that had 40 catches or more in the season. Only one on that active roster at the time. A bunch of rookies, a bunch of young guys. You know, James Cook came on the scene, had a great year this year. Kind of started balling out towards the end of last year, but really took it to another level. So if you just kind of look at like those big game moments and those big victories, Josh Allen has more. But it's hard to argue with stats with Lamar. Like, Lamar's stats are just crazy ridiculous. But this might get to a point where people are like, hey, look, Lamar's won two MVPs. We expect this. Josh Allen hasn't. Kind of similar to the NBA where it's like, we're going to give it to someone else. I got to, because it's a hot topic. You can't go wrong either way. I mean, they did play head-to-head in the regular season, and Lamar took it to Josh Allen's Buffalo team early back in week four. Yeah. If you were giving me a choice between MVP...
If you had to vote today, what would it be?
I'd go with Lamar.
Yeah. To be fair, man, the talent around Allen is really good, and they're going to develop really nicely. That second window just opened up. I definitely see them winning a Super Bowl sometime in the next 5 years.
Yeah, the
I think Lamar has to do it now, either this year or next year, because Lions, I think they're my favorite going in.
The only thing with the Lions, Baltimore has earned this particular thing, is year over year, they're always in the mix. The Lions are hitting their first championship window in 7 years.
60 years.
Yeah, something like that. So, like, this is the team now. You expect Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn to be gone. Now Campbell's going to have to replace those guys. Then, you know, other coaches maybe get poached, other players, and kind of rebuild. Why I respect the Ravens so much is they always find a way to get their guys. A little bit like your Steelers, Rome, but I think the Ravens just been a little bit more successful recently than the Steelers at that. So I think the window's a little bit more wide open than the Ravens, and you kind of speak to. The Bills feel like they need to get over this hump. They've had it right there, and it's time for them to do it. Going back to the MVP thing, I just want to talk through that real quick.
Jason's a stat guy for next year.
I am. Because when you look at the stats, he's not going to win it. But Joe Burrow, like 4,900 passing yards, 43 touchdowns, and only 9 interceptions, the league leader in passing, and what he had done. I mean, when you couple up value to the team, they're not 9-8 without Joe Burrow. Like, this is a team drafting in the top 5 of the league if Joe Burrow goes down right now. So when you talk about, if you're going to go that old argument of most outstanding versus most valuable player, man, this team needed every bit of Joe Burrow to win those 9 games.
Yeah, I mean, Burrow's going to win Comeback Player of the Year. I believe he qualifies for that award because he missed half of last
season.
Does he? I'm not sure. I believe he does.
You know what? To me, there's like a player.
The only reason why you can't give it to Burrow is you can't say a guy's an MVP if you can't get his team in the playoffs. I mean, unfortunately, like, you just, I mean, if you're that great, no matter how many hiccups your team has, you still have to muster into the playoffs. So had they gotten to the playoffs, Burrow would have gotten my MVP vote. But since they don't, like, and he went 0-2 against Lamar in the regular season. Lamar had big games against him. They both did in those matchups. But they have that one shootout, was it like 41-38 early in the year, and then another shootout 35-34. So, yeah.
So Joe Burrow won the Comeback Player of the Year award already. He won it in 2021 because he was injured his rookie year.
Well, who is going to win Comeback Player of the Year? It's not Rodgers. It's not Kirk Cousins. I mean, it's not going to be Dobbins with the Chargers, though he had a pretty decent year.
No, Dobbins, it's got to be
Burrow, Dobbins, right?
Well, he missed half the year. They were 9-8 last year, too.
But when he got hurt, they were on the road to the playoffs at the time.
Can you win the coming? So I think there should be some rules. I was listening to Rosillo's podcast, and he said there should be some rules for this Comeback Player of the Year award. You can't be an MVP player, get hurt, and come back and still be an MVP player. And I'm like, that's kind of valid, actually. Because Hamlin, he died, came back to life, and got beat by Flacco because the 40-year-old had a couple good games for the Browns. You know?
But the thing is, Joe didn't even want to win the award.
No, but he
basically said, don't vote for me.
Yeah.
By the way, at the end of the day, who cares?
And Hamlin wasn't even a starter, so that was the one
play.
Thing.
He didn't play.
This year
really.
He did play. He is a starter.
He did. I was impressed. He did really well.
At the end of the day, though, who cares about the Comeback Player of the Year?
Like, all right, I kind of like the award.
All right, whatever.
Well, it depends if he's on your team, right? I mean, like, if Caleb Williams gets hurt in the offseason and doesn't get to play all next year and then comes back his third season and makes the playoffs, Jason's going to be like, man, I love Comeback Player of the Year. I love this guy.
So hearing other talk shows and stuff talk about Coach of the Year, I want you guys to do your pick right now, too, because, Jason, we had a deep conversation about this earlier in the year, and you brought up a really good point. And I've been thinking about it for, like, the last few weeks, and I was like, oh, we got to talk about this again, because everyone's like, Campbell has to win Coach of the Year. It's Campbell or Washington. And you looked up who's won Coach of the Year every single year. It's always a guy that brings a team that was dead, and they make it to the playoffs, or at least they're competitive. So is that Harbaugh? Right? It's never like the coach that does, I don't know. Campbell has done a hell of a job with the Lions, even if they were favorites. They've overcome every injury, every hurdle. 15-2. Really impressive, man, with everything that's gone wrong for that team. But do you think we break the cycle this year? Is it Campbell? It's not LaFleur.
I think it's Kevin O'Connell.
Ah, him too. Damn.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to...
Everyone's falling in love with him recently.
I don't think it's going to be Dan Campbell because just the success they've had and Ben Johnson getting so much credit, I think that takes away from Dan Campbell. It's unfortunate. But I think people look at the Lions' success and think it's more Ben Johnson than Dan Campbell.
I don't think anyone thinks that.
I do.
Well, that's you, man. You think that too, Jason?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Jeez. I think a lot of people in the league do. And I agree with Jason. I think Kevin O'Connell, he's the guy. I mean, Flores, great job with that defense. And Dan Quinn, either one is one or two in my book. And I think Jason brought this up like a month ago when the odds came out. Those were like 1 and 2. I think Quinn was 1 and O'Connell was 2. I don't know if it's flipped or not, but those are the top 2 choices. And then I would probably put Harbaugh 3. I mean, what he's done with the Chargers from 5 wins to 11 wins, not a lot of talent on offense to get them to a 5 seed. And he's probably going to finish in the top 5. I put him number 3.
Yeah, DraftKings has O'Connell minus 750, Dan Campbell plus 400. Those are the two front runners. Dan Quinn's down to plus 4,000. Sean Payton plus 2,500.
He's done pretty good here.
Rookie of the year? Jaden Daniels? That's a wrap or what?
That's a wrap, dude. Yeah, that was the easiest one.
Who's a defensive? Who's a defensive rookie of the year?
Actually, I think I give Bowers an outside chance of taking it.
Well, he plays offense, so that's going to be tough to take rookie.
No, year. I meant for offense.
Oh, I don't think any chance.
No.
The media crowned Jaden Daniels early in the year.
He earned it. I'd probably put Bowers, Neighbors, Knicks, and Daniels probably in the top four or five guys there. I'm not sure if that's what that is, but and then I'd throw Brian Thomas in there too.
I'll say not Brian Thomas would be over Neighbors.
Yeah.
Thomas had 1,200 yards.
Neighbors had 100.
Well, Neighbors had 109 catches, missed two games with no quarterback.
A circle of quarterbacks.
I guess Brian Thomas
and Neighbors, you could flip flop. Either one of them is fine with me.
Defense, don't know, man. That's a tough one. I also wasn't keeping track of defense all that close to this year.
Well, it was remember this draft, it was all offensive players, like for the first like 16 picks or something like that.
Heavily offense.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who was the NFL. Who was the defensive rookie of the year? What are the odds?
Jared Verse.
Yeah, with the Rams. Fisk had a better year than him, though.
Yeah.
What are the other odds?
Quinyon Mitchell is another one I've seen on there.
We haven't really talked about it all that much this year.
Well, it was a heavy offensive draft, so I think this is where all with so many quarterbacks, wide receivers, everything taken.
Yeah, Verse looks like the favored. Surprised he'd win it, but yeah, that's the way it's looking.
Yeah, Mitchell's been really good.
Now, I know they have MVP, but do they do like Offensive Player of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year awards separate?
I believe so, yes.
So I believe Burrow's probably going to win Offensive Player of the Year, even though he's not going to win the MVP.
Yeah. I think that's fair. Or does Lamar clean sweep it?
No, I don't. It's not going to be a clean sweep. So I think Offensive Player of the Year, given stats that Jason mentioned, Burrow was going to win that. And then somebody else will win Comeback Player of the Year. Maybe Dobbins, like you said, since he was out the whole year.
How about Defensive Player of the Year?
I don't know.
I'm kind of embarrassed because usually defense is like my strong suit. And,
Well, your guy TJ Watt might be up there. Pat Surtain maybe up there. Myles Garrett potentially.
Your guy Hendricks with the Bengals, he said 17 and a half sacks. He's got to be up there. There was a few defensive backs of 8-9 interceptions. They're probably going to be up there.
Who's that guy on the Eagles that they switched over? He's up there. I'm just drawing a blank right now. Well,
let's see what the odds are.
This sounds like our hockey segment.
Yep.
Apologies.
No, I mean, it's just all talk right now. So it looks like Sertan's a favorite.
Yeah. Is there any other award that we should talk about?
I think we're good on that.
I think we're good. Yeah, a lot of dead airtime here.
Any coaches you expect to get fired that haven't already?
I figured we weren't going to hear from a lot of teams, especially when they changed the rules for like interviews and all that stuff. And I was kind of iffy about like what the Colts, the Giants.
You had like nine guys getting fired, and then
I would fire. Yeah, but the Colts one was iffy. The Giants was iffy. I said the Raiders would probably like. There's a good chance they might keep their guy. It looks like that's still in the running right now.
Sounds 50-50 from what I'm hearing.
You know, and then I kind of got stuck on some message boards last night. Fell asleep like half asleep, and it seems like everyone's else like they don't know what's happening with the Raiders, and
I was kind of surprised, though, of how quick they fired Mayo, though. That was, they knew they were going to fire him before the game. I think they probably knew that like a week ago. And it was too fast, too quick, too choreographed. And then Kraft giving all this like bullshit take of like how he feels bad. I don't think he feels that bad. Do they give him a lot of weapons to be, you know, competitive? Just like, you know, in
I think
Vegas.
I think that's where Kraft feels bad, is he gave him such a bad team. He put him in a no-win situation.
Same record as Belichick from the year before.
Yeah, it was a curious coaching hire. I mean, Mayo had been considered, even when he was playing, like as a guy that was a coach on the field for those Patriots teams when he was playing, and that he had, you know, had these attributes and stuff to be a leader and a coach. And I don't think this is his last go round, but I'm not quite sure if it was fair to him in this point was, you know, to set either to give him the rope that he needed to be able to turn this thing around. But after 1 year, if you were to actually go this route, that you weren't truly invested in him at the moment, and you were going with another reason, whether it was because he had ties as a player, or this is what, you know, hey, Belichick had referred to, because, you know, Mayo was kind of Belichick's guys. I think that's probably the most disappointing thing, is when these teams go through these processes and whatever the decisions are when you hire someone, you know, what's your long-term vision? Are you hiring for long-term vision? Or are you just like, hey, this is right in the moment, I'm willing to move on? Because some of these decisions are like, that's what they feel like.
When I was reading more up about it, and I totally forgot about some of the stuff, Mayo was interviewing for head coaching position for the last several years. And so Kraft was afraid of losing him. So he put in his contract that he would be the successor. It was lauded by other executives around the NFL as like smart business management, you know, sports management. Even Goodell commented on it, but it was obviously the job was a little too big, a little too much. And he just had like too many gaffes in the public as well. Didn't do any favors, calling the team soft, saying Brissett was the best quarterback on the team when they had May's phenomenal, man. That's if anything, like the firing makes sense, because you don't want to ruin an asset like that, because May looks like the real deal, not like a fake real deal like the way Jones was. I know the similarities are striking. I think May is the real deal, though.
He definitely has tools. It's going to take the right coach there. And, you know, if you're reading the message boards, that's a potential destination for Ben Johnson, too, they're talking about. So, and then Vrabel, I mean, I think we were chatting after it happened, you know, last night or this morning, whenever it was, like with Vrabel being possibly, he was a New England guy back in the day too. And but he's got a little more of the, you know, experience and the pedigree of turning something around. So.
Yeah. I mean, Vrabel seems like the guy. I'm even hearing rumors of Josh McDaniels coming back.
No.
To be the OC.
Oh, well, he's a great OC.
Yeah. So that's kind of the rumor of Vrabel with, McDaniels as the OC, and
if Vrabel makes it back, Pats are vying for a wild card next year.
Well, if that's who Kraft wants, which by all indications it sounds like, Lynn, he's going to make it happen.
Do you guys hear the rumors? Like who's interviewing for these jobs? Like the Jets, Nagy.
Well, they're interviewing Rex Ryan tomorrow.
Who's the OC for the Cardinals? I was on not on X, but like the other one, Threads, and all the Arizona Cardinals fans are like, take him. Take him. We don't want him.
The Bears are interviewing him.
Oh, I mean, the Bears. My bad.
Yeah, I mean, all these teams interview these
Who
guys.
Who is it interviewing for the Bears job? Jason should apply, man.
I think I can at this point. I even saw they're interviewing former Stanford coach and current Broncos senior person, David Shaw. So. I told a bunch of my friends were just heckling me because they're like the Bears are going to mess this up. And I'm like, oh, they 100% are.
I feel like they're interviewing too many people now. It's they're going to check this thing out, too. They're going to get in their own heads.
There's two schools of thought. So if I'm defending the Bears in this moment, it's like, hey, we're casting a wide net in first round of interviews. We want to hear everyone's thoughts, yada, yada, yada. But secretly in the back of my mind, do they know who they want and they just want to hear stuff around the league of maybe some sparks of something that they can do with Caleb or what these coaches are idea of Caleb. But I 100% think they messed this up. They're going to fall in love with somebody that is going to be wrong. And they're going to have all these rationales about leader of men and all
some
this
people
type of
just
stuff.
Interview really well too. There's going to be one or two of those candidates that just interview really well.
Well, Yeah, I mean, you got to remember, the more times you interview for all these jobs, the better you're going to get. So if you kind of be like on your fifth time cycle, you're going to knock it out of the ballpark because nothing's going to come out of ordinary for you.
One thing I do know about this is that NFL's a, you know, a special club, and they all share the information. They're going to interview candidates anyways just to gauge on how people are doing on their development. Maybe that's why Nagy's getting more interviews again. Well, some of these guys that failed before, it, you know, they're kind of circling around and see what it's like going to jail, you know, or prison. Are you ready for parole? Are you ready to immerse yourself back with the public? And I feel like that's the way it is with NFL coaching circles.
Interviewing these guys, if they don't get the job, you may hire another guy that wants to bring these guys in as an OC or a defensive coordinator. That's a, you know, co-offensive coordinator, pass game coordinator. And you might say, you know what? That guy interviewed pretty good. He's not ready for a head coach, but this head coach likes him and is going to bring him in as an offensive coordinator. I like that. And a GM might like that as well, too. So these guys aren't just only interviewing for, you know, possible head coaching gigs. You know, they could be going from, you know, run game coordinator, pass game coordinator to offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator with these guys and the new staff that comes in. So, you know, Matt Nagy's interviewing with the Jets. Hey, if he gets the job, great, because then Eric Bieniemy goes back to Kansas City. It's just how it works.
Bieniemy's still not getting any offers. Wait, did Bieniemy just take another job or no?
I don't believe so.
No, he took another college job, or
he left UCLA.
I know he did, but he was supposed to go somewhere else.
Supposed to go to the NFL. That's why he said
he
left
UCLA. I know,
but
that wasn't happening. I could have sworn something else happened, guys.
The reason why he said he mutually agreed to part ways of UCLA because he wanted to go back to the NFL. So if Matt Nagy happens to get a head coaching job, then he just goes back to Kansas City as an OC.
How do you spell Bieniemy?
Like B-I-E-M and then some fucking weird shit after that.
Because he said he was going back to UCLA, but then it doesn't really matter.
UCLA hired Indiana's co-offensive coordinator as offensive coordinator. Can't think of his name right now, but that's who they hired.
I like what UCLA is doing. Any other takes, man? Regular season's done.
I mean, I just want to know from Jason, if the Bears don't get Ben Johnson, who's choice number two, man?
Wait,
who do you want?
We already went through this.
I don't remember.
It was just last pod.
Yeah, it was last pod. You brought up Stefanski, which just doesn't look like it's going to happen right now. It looks like he's tied in there, which seemed intriguing. I don't know. Like it's tough on who has the vision. They're bringing up a lot of defensive coordinators, which is, hey, I'm tracking for someone who's a leader. The sell in that room, I'm probably not going to be happy with it, but those defensive coordinators are really going to have, what is your plan for this offense of Caleb Williams? Because you go back of every Bears coach that they've gone through, they cannot get a viable offense together, and now you have the best quarterback that you've ever drafted. That needs to be the focus, and then you hire some great defensive coordinator. That's my position. If you're the opposite, you want a defensive guy and a leader, and then they got a plan for who they're bringing in for offensive stuff. Like, if you're going to have the Vrabel stuff, like, I wasn't the biggest Vrabel guy, but if, hey, Vrabel comes in, you say, I got Josh McDaniels as my offensive coordinator.
I love that.
And this is X, Y, and Z plan for Caleb Williams and how I turn this into the next Tom Brady. You might be able to get the city of Chicago and me on that train. So, I'm not going to be happy if it's not Ben Johnson. I'm saying that now because I think when you look at Kevin O'Connell and LaFleur and McVay and all these guys, like the ones that are really going next level is a guy that is offensive focused, that really takes control of the offense of the team and has a great defensive staff. Like that's where it's at.
There was an interesting name that came up for the Bears today. Someone's offensive coordinator, but I can't remember who it was.
Well, it wasn't the Cardinals' offense coordinator.
No,
it was the Ravens. Ravens, Todd Monken.
Yeah, Todd Monken was one of them for the Ravens OC. That was out there too. Oh, Mike McCarthy's definitely filtering out there.
I said,
I might just not be a Bears fan if we're gonna go after Mike McCarthy.
It'd be interesting to see if Jerry lets it go through and lets him interview, because I believe McCarthy's under contract till January 14th.
Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes it's the guy who he wants, and then he's not available. So it's always the second guy
you talk about guys are going to interview good. McCarthy's one of them.
He's a good interview.
He's going to knock that interview out of the ballpark.
He's really good. Yeah.
Probably.
He's going to say, look what I did with Rodgers, what I did with Dak. Imagine what I got to do with Caleb.
The reason why I wouldn't take the Bears job if I was up for it is that division's really tough.
dealing with the Pac team that's really young. They're going to be vying for that thing for a while. Lions got like, what, like a 3-4 year window. Vikings, we'll see what happens, but you got to imagine that's going to be the same thing again. That's a tough place to be.
I think the Bears is a lucrative job because you got a potential franchise quarterback. That's the only thing right now that makes the job for the Bears great. Like, if Caleb wasn't there, it's not a job you'd probably be high on your list.
You have Caleb and the cap space, so you have the flexibility of what you're going to do moving forward. The weakness of the team right now is, you know, parts of the offensive line and decisions they're going to have to make there. You probably need some bigger guys up the middle defensively against the running game's been bad. The Bears had a pretty undersized middle of their offensive line, middle of their defensive line, excuse me. So what you're going to need to do to fix this team and what are the assets they do have. So I still think it's a great job, but do they put the right person in the position to make the decision? It was interesting post game when all the Bears players, and we kind of talked about this a little bit, but all the Bears players were giving Thomas Brown his flowers and stuff in the locker room. The Bears president, Kevin Warren, was right behind him during that time. Brian Poles was not. So
Brian Poles got to go.
You can read into what you want. They basically said he's making this decision, but to Aaron said he liked what Shad Khan said. There's a lot of people talking, like, from a Ben Johnson perspective. Like, if Ben Johnson makes this sell to Kevin Warren, like, hey, I can do X, Y, and Z with your team, but Poles is not the guy, and I need to bring this type of person, or these are the three names that could give me the guys I need. I mean, I'm going back on what I said with Shad Khan at this point, but like,
he's agreeing with me, and that the Khan theory is not bad.
We're watching Jason just flip right out. I love it.
Because let's put it this way: if Ben Johnson says he wants Ryan Poles out, then
he does want his own out.
Jason's fucking going out there right now and getting that done. He's escorting him out of the building right now. Robert Saleh, hey, don't even say goodbye. Grab your shit, security. Let's get him out of here.
Let me say, it's not what I want, and it's not, I think, a strategy for a successful organization. But the Bears are dysfunctional, and if they can get the right coach, then okay, let's keep being dysfunctional and do this one time.
This is why I like the Jaguars and Khan is like, if he gets the right football mind, what he believes, he'll do as he's told. Like, he kind of stays out of the way and like, hey man, this sounds like great. Like, you want him gone? You want him gone? You want to bring in your own GM? Let's do it. I don't care if the guy's on the phone call sitting next to me. Like, he's got to go.
People want to sell the team already, but you got to give it to him. He's not afraid of taking risks.
Oh, that guy's not selling the team. He owns, you know.
And he's renovating that stadium too.
Yeah.
No, they want him to, though.
Who?
All their fans.
Oh, the 10 fans in Jacksonville?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10
just,
fans.
Hey, just put another pool in on the other end of the end zone. Everybody be happy there.
I mean, you think we have it like, I mean, I don't want to throw shade in Jacksonville. One of my childhood teams when I was a Jaguars fan as a young kid, because it was cool colors and they were expansion team. Yeah. Yeah. There's some facts. So, yeah. Loved Mark Brunell, Fred Taylor, Keenan McCardell, Jimmy
Mark
Smith.
Brunell. You know? Love those guys.
You know
man.
What? Yeah. What's up with like young kids, young boys falling in love with like some mid-tiered quarterback? Mine was Cordell Stewart, the Steelers.
Mine was Mark Brunell, man. He was left-handed. They wore those teal jerseys, man. You had Fred Taylor, you know, Tony Baselli on the left tackle, man. The Jags were a team there in the mid-90s. AFC Championship game, second year in existence. That was a vibe for me when I was you know, a young kid living in Chicago. But I mean, the Jags. I mean, just go back to the Jacksonville market. Like, this is Jacksonville. Like, it's, I don't know what market is television wise, but it's one of the smallest. I mean, it's in not a place in Florida that most people are going to. I don't think they're pushing to sell the team. If anything, because they, you know, the Khan family, they own an English Premier League team too, so they have the ties to London with that and what they do there. So they make their money, you know, being an international team into England, you know, more than they probably do, you know, everything they have in Jacksonville. They're trying to basically own two continents.
Yeah, I mean, give the Khans credit, man. They've put a lot of money into the Jacksonville. They could have, you know, they were rumored to always be kind of headed that London team if there was going to be a team stationed there. But, yeah, I mean, they're renovating the stadium. He's put money into it. He wants to win. I mean, he made the big splash hire. Jason mentioned Urban Meyer. That didn't work out. Doug Peterson here. Now Ben Johnson, rumored from the sources to be, you know, at the top of the list. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
All right.
We were talking about coaches. I think that's it, right? Because nothing's going to happen.
No, they're going to be going through this interview process and everything like that. So, I mean, we'll first round of interviews this week. Maybe you get a couple more coaches out the door here in the next week or two. But given how quiet the Black Monday was for head coaching, I probably wouldn't anticipate many more moves in the head coaching front.
Real quick, how do you guys save numbers in your phone? Because someone just called me and I have them saved as David, Black Guy, Kung Fu. So I know it's a black guy from Kung Fu, but I don't know.
Generally, I save a person with first and last name, but that's just me.
Yeah, mine's David Black Guy.
Generally the same, or at least the last name initial.
Yeah.
And then maybe a note under Black Guy Kung Fu if you want to go that route. But yeah.
I have a lot of these, like Ashley Barr. Monique, North Beach. Monica, Peacekeeper. Melanie. Melanie.
Are you doing Mambo number 5 right now? Or
I remember Melanie. I'm just going through my phone book. I'm going to delete all these numbers. Time to start fresh 2025. Starting fresh. By the way, real quick before we go, I bought these Ferrero Rocher chocolates, like people like to give gifts. And then there's like 3 of them. I didn't know they had 3. There's like the regular ones, the gold ones. Do you guys like these?
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, they're
right. They're fine.
And then they also have like this dark chocolate. I like dark chocolate. This is delicious. Yeah. And then they have this coconut, which I like coconut, but then every chocolate bar that has coconut is like too sweet, like Almond Joy. Way too much. But it has like macadamia nut. Blew my mind. I've been snacking this whole thing. I've been really hungry today.
Yeah, I mean, you've been eating for the last 2 hours on this fucking pod.
Fried chicken, pasta. I didn't expect. I don't know. Got the munchies.
This guy's trying to be Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11 and just be eating food in every scene.
I love that movie.
Great movie.
At least that's one movie Rome and I all agree on that we love. I thought he was going to say it was terrible.
Yeah.
Nah, dude, I love Ocean's 11. 13, I don't know. We'll have to talk about that one.
I like Ocean's 13. 11's the classic. I think 12's underrated.
12's good.
I like 12.
Which one's with the Julia Roberts pretending to be Julia Roberts?
That's 12.
That's the one I don't like. That's the one I'm like, it's weird.
13's the one with Pacino.
Oh, you know what? Damn it. I guess I'm not crazy about that one, yeah.
But he likes 11. Them all.
11's great.
I would watch them all, yeah. All right, real quick. What are some trilogies that you would watch all three? We're not talking about Back to the Future. That sucks. I think we established that last time.
No, we didn't establish it. You just gave a terrible take.
It's not a terrible take. Aaron, have you seen Back to the Future all three?
I have, and it's been a while.
Dude, watch it. You're not going to even make it past 20 minutes on the second one. You're going to fall asleep.
That's a lie.
Let's do over-under.
I'm going to have to watch it then here in the next...
We'll find out. That'll be like our... We'll do a movie bet after season.
He goes into the future in number 2, 2015.
It just goes so slow, 90s. Man.
All right.
I like to watch it with you, Jason. We should go to your house. Movie night. I want to try your wife's famous cookies.
Jason's they're trying to, cut back on the cookies, man. So now you want to bring them back up.
Nah, yeah, they're all gone, man.
Really good apple pies. I could bring
new year, new me, man. No sweets, man.
Yeah. I'm trying a dry January. Only dry white wines, dry champagnes, dry cocktails.
I'm just drinking water.
Nice. Aaron, milk?
Absolutely, man.
Dude, someone listened to the pod about on that milk episode, and I heard back about it. They think you might be like a serial killer.
Can I drink milk?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, milk's great. It's just like most of us are just lactose intolerant by the time we're our
age. At the levels that you drink milk, yeah.
What, about a gallon a week?
Fuck, that's a lot.
Jesus.
Yeah. I got to find exactly what episode that is, but I did not forget.
I mean, I think it was about like a month back. I mean, yeah, it takes – I drink about a gallon of milk every 7 to 10 days.
Oh, dude, I want to fart just hearing that. Sorry. All right, that's it. Hell of a long pod. I loved it. Great season. We're done?
We're done.
Yeah.
Cool.